Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I hope you're happy. I gave you some news and marketing, and I might sneak a little bit in here today. But we are going to be talking about the hyphenated American. And I want to be upfront with you. I want you to understand that the whole thing, the whole motive behind the content I've been providing you is to help you understand that we have to make some tough decisions. There's this idea that, yeah, as long as we can, you know, as long as we can agree to disagree, that is how you think. That is how a reasonable person who believes in liberty thinks. However, there are those who are actively working. It's one thing to have a difference in ideas, but it's another thing to actually be out exercising those ideas to undermine our constitutional republic. And this is really important. I hope you get this. The difference is that those people who are actively acting out, in other words, there are people in the Democratic Party that are violating the Constitution and doing things that are direct violations. Now, whether they know it or not, I don't know if it's that material, right? I mean, what does the policeman say when they pull you over and say, you know, you're speeding and, you know, you're going 50 into 25? I didn't know it was 25 in here. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. As the driver behind the wheel of that car, you are supposed to know because you're supposed to be paying attention to your driving and your surroundings and so forth. You don't want to get out of the car and go, where am I? How did I get here? That's almost a guaranteed trip down to the infirmary. And some blood tests and all sorts of other tests. Anyway, the intent of what we're trying to do is we're trying to prove to you that we're at the same cusp. We're at that same precipice that the framers were at when all of a sudden it came time. We won the revolution and it came time to identify who were really the enemies. We have full-fledged enemies that are actively engaged and brazenly out to defy the Constitution, and they don't care. Well, we should care. And as a matter of fact, it is in our DNA to take a stand and say, look, I mean, it's one thing to have a different opinion, but to act upon those ideas and to do things that are harmful towards our rule of law and our government is is unacceptable. And as a matter of fact, just because somebody comes out and says, well, this is what I was taught in school. Well, I mean, you could be taught that the earth is flat in school. We have facts. You have to do the due diligence. You're responsible to understand that the earth isn't flat, that we don't have a democracy. We have a republican form of government. You have to know these types of things. Just because they taught you that doesn't make it right. And so the facts are the facts. That's why we go through the facts. And that's why this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. That is why this is the only show to provide you with academic and evidence-based solutions. Now, we've got the replay of the first proclamation of Thanksgiving, the very first Thanksgiving that our framers, underneath the sail of or the banner of our current Constitution in 1789, we're going to read that proclamation again for you tomorrow. We're going to replay that episode from last week, And I'm hoping that you've already printed it out. I've been asking you and been hoping and trying to prompt you to make a point in making, you know, what you do in your life accurate. If we're going to have a Thanksgiving, we should at least understand how our constitutional framers thanked or expressed thanks in their Thanksgiving, in their first Thanksgiving, as an amalgamation of states, in a united states. And so please, please, please get others to start understanding. And the best way to do that, I guess, would be to prompt people, hey, you've got to check out Reclaiming the Republic with G.R. Mobley on Red State Talk Radio. We have the hyphenated American speech that was given by Teddy Roosevelt. We'll get into those details a little later. But we've got that coming up. And we also will be prepping for the Bill of Rights, because most people don't realize that Thanksgiving can be as early as, like, what, the 21st, the 22nd, or as late as the 28th. And when Thanksgiving is late, the 28th, 29th, or what have you, I think it's the 28th is maybe the possibly latest Thursday in the month, but nevertheless, some people don't realize that when it is so late in the month, there is not much time to get into, you know, Christmas. This is a short run to for your Christmas shopping and getting into Christmas, especially if you've ensconced yourself and you've just, you know, completely embraced the commercialized manipulation of what the winter solstice has become. But and we have a special show on that as well. Yeah, it has. It didn't take long for people to come into our society because of, you know, how we were kind of made up, for people to come in and start manipulating facts and information to help move us in the direction that would best suit them. So with that, you will definitely want to hear our special on how the world, because if you look at how the world used to celebrate Christmas, it changed when America adopted this concocted idea of Christmas, the birth of Christ, and all of that. So you definitely want to hear that when we do that show coming up in December. But with that, one of the things I do want to ask and beg and plead is for you to get involved. What's it going to take? I mean, I read through these news stories. I go through all these facts. I go through all this information, and I present this stuff. What is it going to take for you to start getting involved? Have you joined the GOP and demanded amongst your GOP fellow party members, have you demanded that the focus be on compliance to the Constitution, that we have to start putting agendas aside? Are you getting involved in, you know, potentially even running? Are you getting involved in helping get organized for Republic Review with Reclaiming the Republic? All you got to do is send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That's all we ask. We hope and pray that you would find that this is the only cause. I know you'll find it if you actually pray, but we hope that you do pray so that you will find the fact that Reclaiming the Republic, the only way we're going to do this is with Republic Review. There is no other way. I don't like poking people in the eye, but as I talk to people and people, I'm not ready to commit at this point, or whatever lame excuse they'll come up with. But they can almost guarantee that when the time is appropriate, I will, you know, send them emails, you know, as they've done something or they've stated something. I go, well, maybe it's time that you come on board, or, well, it sounds like you're trying to come on board. You got some of the things right, but not all of the things. Anyway, if you've got a computer, if you have some literacy and a phone, you can actually get involved. Send us an email. We need your support. Period. We need your support. We cannot do this without a few people getting on board and becoming active. And we have a few, but we need more. And the more the more people get on board, the more this is going to gain steam. And so please consider. And as a matter of fact, if you're not sure, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, to that website, and read through the content. Tell me what you have a problem with. If there is any reservations, if you have any questions. And by the way, on the main page, on the home page of reclaimingtherepublic.org, we actually highlight the text in red for you regarding some of the, you know, misconceptions and or some of the deviant lies that have been put out there by pseudo-conservative organizations that have actually stood idly by and watched America turn into a communist state. So one of the other things you can do if you want to support us, and now that we're turning around the corner almost and heading straight into Christmas, try Red State Coffee. There's the grind and the beans that you can try. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the link and just try one bag. Especially if you are a coffee connoisseur, we would love to find out your opinion regarding the grade and quality of that coffee. But I got a little time left, so we're not even going to get into the next little part of news and or my rant, because I want to keep these things up in the air, and you know it's coming. It's about the NBA. So when we come back, I'm going to do a little bit of railing on the NBA and social justice warriors. And so when we come back from these two breaks, these two promos, we'll go into that, and then we're going to go into the Teddy Roosevelt hyphenated American, and hopefully it'll help you, you know, broaden your paradigm regarding Americanism. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Now, I understand that there may be a difference in the athletic cultures of basketball, baseball, football, and so forth, but when it comes to social justice warriors, when it comes to the promotion of social justice, it is its own culture. Now, I want to point out to you, because you have seen the NFL and the, you know, the kneeling and the exerted disrespect for this nation and for what this nation represents, what they have tried to castigate, what they have tried to shine a light on is a point and an issue that has nothing to do, and I've gone through this before, has nothing to do with our constitutional republic. Most people don't understand, and that's okay. As a matter of fact, the one indictment that maybe they would probably, you know, if we got everybody in the same room, maybe everybody would actually agree that, well, I guess we really don't understand the Constitution. But they want to make these blanketed statements, and it's always about casting a shadow. It's all about trying to create doubt so that everybody else that doesn't know anything, but boy, they sure love football. They love baseball. And if this guy's doing it, then this has got to be wrong. I've ran into people in public that, you know, sports, the sport team of their choice or what have you, and supposedly they're wearing this American flag, and then they say, well, I believe in the freedom of, expression and speech. And I go, well, I don't think that it's really the freedom of speech is the issue. And I go back to this concept that when people are singing the same song, it's really not about speech. It is about a narrative, and it is about trying to get the chorus so that everybody sings along in the chorus. And I'm here to tell you, we have to shut it down. This movement is a destructive movement that is designed to undermine our constitutional republic. And so in the football arena, or in that culture, there has been the flagrant disrespect towards the flag and towards our nation. In NBA, in the NBA, it is an embracing of communism and slavery. And so, what is it? I just ask you, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm not watching football. I'm not watching basketball. And I've even stopped watching baseball. They don't deserve a penny. They do not deserve a penny. They're not that important. As a matter of fact, they happen to be making billions of dollars, these different markets and industries. They're making billions of dollars, and they're trying to poke us in the eye, or even yet they're trying to embrace ideologies that are an absolute enemy to our existence. Communist Party China is an enemy, and they have not minced any words, and they are not hiding anything when they come right out and in public and say, we are going after the United States. It's time we knock them down a peg. And they've actually said that they want to harass our fleets when they can intertangle with us. And it's not going to take them long to be able to build a navy that will actually, when they're at a point where they can exert true naval force and project true military power, they are going to do it. And the only reason they're not invading Taiwan, and the only reason they're not invading, is because the world is kind of watching them, and they're not ready yet. And so that's why I've been saying the smartest thing that we could do is to ask those in Hong Kong, do you want to become a state in the United States? We actually have this clause in Article 4 that allows states to petition. You can become a state in the United States. Would you like to start that process? Same thing with Taiwan. Same thing with all these countries. Crimea? All of these types of countries that have been harassed and or taken over by thugs, by aggressive communist nations. And even though Russia may not be espoused to be communist, it hasn't changed. They've just cut the bear up, but the bear still exists and it's still there. So anyway, I would like to find out if you have had any encounters regarding the NBA issue at all. As a matter of fact, I can't find anybody that's bringing this up. There's so much focus on the distraction, the big distraction, which is impeachment and so forth, and that's not going anywhere. Anyway, if you find somebody, just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, because I'd love to find out who else is trying to actually bring this issue. As a matter of fact, it's it is a connected issue. It is all about social justice. And you got to remember, social justice is all about communism. And so the NBA has really played their cards out here by supporting communism. So anyway, let me do one more quick thing here. I want you to actually consider getting involved in running in 2020. We need people to actually start challenging rhinos. If you're willing to do that, send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We want to help you. And actually, just to be clear, if you reach out to us, we won't expose you. We've had somebody in the past to come, and they didn't understand the Constitution. They just want to get out, you know, I want to get in there, I want to be able to do things. And it wasn't like they had their heart in trying to actually fix things. They just wanted to be the one that was brokering power. And so, unfortunately, that didn't work out well. But if you are tired and you want to get involved and you want to actually step into that fray, then let us know. Send us an email, info@. We want to help, and if there's ways we can help you, we will. And as a matter of fact, like I said, I believe in a previous episode, we just came right out and told people, if people want you to receive money, we'll allow them to funnel the money through us. I mean, we're okay with supporting, as long as you are supporting the Constitution and supporting Republic Review. Because bottom line, they're synonymous. If you support Republic Review, that means you are supporting the Constitution. If you are not supporting Republic Review, you are not. Anyway, Teddy Roosevelt wrote a paper, I think it was like in the 1892... it may have been a part of his thesis. It may have been in the 1880s. I forget really where this hyphenated American paper came from. But it resurrected itself in, I believe it was 1912, when Teddy Roosevelt addressed, I believe it was the Knights of Columbus in Carnegie Hall. And if I remember correctly, it was 1912. And it was a long talk. I mean, I have his whole talk right here. And this talk is 10 pages long. And we're only going to pull out less than 2 pages out of this. But what he brings up is very important. Because as America has weathered a lot of different influxes of immigration, I mean, even though the very beginning, America weathered, you know, a long onslaught of people from Britain. But that wasn't it, because you got to remember, New York was actually founded by the Dutch. Remember, it was New Amsterdam before it petitioned, because the English people in the colonies migrated there and actually kind of, they did something very similar to what the Mohammedans or Islamists are doing throughout Europe and so forth. They basically migrated in and created a majority of Englishmen in New York, and then they petitioned England to make it their colony, and that's how they slipped it out from underneath the Dutch. Because the Dutch actually had a toehold in, but it wasn't enough footing for them to actually be able to hold and retain their colony. Anyway, as you understand, we've always had a large migration. Even back in those days, there were Germans, French, Irish. There were all these different types of Americans. And so in the early, in the 1880s, early 1900s, there's always been this hyphenated American. And even today, we deal with hyphenated Americans. We need to maintain this perspective that a hyphenated American is not an American. And so let me go through and kind of read this, because this was a pretty powerful speech. I will tell you, if you understand Teddy Roosevelt and what he did to our Constitution and how he grew the federal government unconstitutionally, you know I'm not a big fan of his. But when it came to this one issue, this one myopic point, that we have to have a solid resolve that we have to support our Constitution. I want to be clear. It's about the Constitution, not the government. To be very clear, we're not here to support the United States government. We're here to support the Constitution and all laws in pursuant to the Constitution, which is why we have a Second Amendment, because we're all supposed to be enforcing those constitutional laws, whether you be the militia, the formal militia, or the unorganized militia, doesn't matter. We're all supposed to be supporting the Constitution. That's our birthright and a birth duty and responsibility. We'll be right back after these two promos, though, and I will be diving into his speech. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so way down in this speech, and let me see what page we're starting on as I kind of put this in. This is basically page two, so towards the bottom of page two. Anyway, this is what he says. For 35 years, I've been more or less actively engaged in public life in the performance of my political duties, now in a public position, now in a private position. I have fought with all the fervor I possessed for the various causes in which, with all my heart, I believed. And in every fight I thus made, I have had with me and against me Catholics, Protestants, and Jews. There have been times when I have had to make the fight for or against some man for each creed on ground of plain public morality, unconnected with questions of public policy. There were other times when I have made such a fight or against a given man, not on grounds of public morality, for he may have been morally a good man, but on account of his attitude on questions of public policy, of the governmental principle. And you're going to see he is a despotic man in some of his perceptions as he writes here and as he speaks. And we'll talk about that. In both cases, I have always found myself for fighting beside and fighting against men of every creed. The one sure way to have secured the defeat of every good principle worth fighting for would have been to have permitted the fight to be changed into one along sectarian lines and inspired by the spirit of sectarian bitterness, either for the purpose of putting into public life or keeping out of public life the believers in any given creed. Such conduct represents an assault upon Americanism. The man guilty of it is not a good American. I hold that it is this country there must be complete severance of church and state. And see, this is where his secularism is coming in. And you got to remember, he has given all sorts of statism, you know, he's buoyed statism and has lifted it up to a level that it's right up there with Obama and right up there with FDR and so forth. Anyway, so he says it must be a complete severance of church and state. And oh, by the way, this was echoed by Hugo Black. So I'm reading this because some of his points are correct, but I do not believe in some of the principles he's talking about, like such as the severance of church and state. That public money shall not be used for the purpose of advancing any particular creed, and therefore that the public schools shall be non-sectarian or non-religious. As a necessary corollary to this, not only the pupils, but the members of the teaching force and the school officials of all kinds must be treated exactly on a par, no matter what their creed, and there must be no more discrimination against Jew or Catholic or Protestant than discrimination in favor of Jew, Catholic, or Protestant. So he rings a very, and I completely agree, we can't necessarily discriminate for or against. We need to be neutral regarding very specific things. And it's not about discriminating, and you're not discriminating when you're actually speaking out on something or you're speaking to something. That's not necessarily discrimination, is it? No, especially when you're stating fact. So anyway, he goes on and says, whoever makes such discrimination is an enemy of the public schools. What is true of creed is no less true of nationality. There is no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. When I refer to hyphenated Americans, I do not refer to naturalized Americans. Some of the best Americans I have ever known were nationalized Americans, Americans born abroad. But a hyphenated American is not an American at all. This is just as true of the man who puts native before the hyphen as of the man who puts German or Irish or English or French before the hyphen. Americanism is a matter of the spirit and of the soul. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly, and see, I've got to stop there. It should be purely to the Constitution. Some people say to the Union. No, not to the Union, not to the United States, not to the government. It should be to the Constitution. When you take your oath of office, when you take your oath of citizenship, you do not take your oath of allegiance to the United States. You take your oath in supporting the Constitution, not the United States. To be very clear, the framers understood the mischiefs that men can get involved in, and that is why they had us in Article 6, Section 2, I believe, or Section 1, is clearly we have to take an oath of office. Doggone it. You know, when I start questioning myself as to, well, what is it supposed to be when we take our oath of office? Is it Section 1 or 2 or 3 or which section is it? And it is section two, because I had to look it up real quick. So anyway, let me get back on to what he was saying. Americanism is a matter of the spirit and of the soul. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States, which I'm telling you, if he's wrong, it must be to the Constitution. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance, but if he is heartily and singly loyal to this republic, good word, then no matter where he is born, he is just as good an American as anyone else. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't even buy into that, because they believe any illegal that's toting any type of flag, or at least in some of their rulings, have gone down that path. Anyway, the one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of its continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities, an intricate knot of German Americans, Irish Americans, English Americans, French Americans, Scandinavian Americans, or Italian Americans, each preserving its separate nationality, each at heart feeling more sympathy with Europeans of that nationality than with the other citizens of the American Republic. And so we really don't have a lot of people that are running around speaking of European American descent, right? But we can see how we are seeing this divisiveness, the squabbling, as he calls it, growing and growing and dividing us. And it goes back to that old adage, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. The men who do not become Americans and nothing else are hyphenated Americans, and there ought to be no room for them in this country. The man who calls himself an American citizen and who yet shows by his actions that he is primarily the citizen of a foreign land, plays a thoroughly mischievous part in the life of our body politic. He has no place here, and the sooner he returns to the land to which he feels his real heart allegiance, the better it will be for every good American. There is no such thing as a hyphenated American who is a good American. The only man who is a good American is the man who is an American and nothing else. I appeal to history. Among the generals of Washington in the Revolutionary War were Greene and Putnam and Lee, who were of English descent, Wayne and Sullivan, who were of Irish descent, Marion, who was of French descent, and Schuyler, who was of Dutch descent, and Muhlenberg and Herkimer were of German descent. Yeah, I'm really bad with names, but anyway. But they were all of them Americans and nothing else, just as much as Washington. Carroll of Carrollton was a Catholic, Hancock a Protestant, Jefferson was a heterodox, and actually he was not. He was Christian, but he just refused to actually be active in any of the Christian faiths, which is why he sought, and I don't think he went to seek, I'm digressing down a rat hole here, but his point of calling Jefferson a heterodox is probably the least accurate, unorthodox or heretical is the word of a heterodox. And so I'm just going, you know, he didn't know Jefferson, and this was the beginning of revisionist history. And Dumas Malone, that's why his actual biography or his six-volume books on Jefferson and the details of Jefferson's life truly, clarify that Jefferson was truly a Christian. It was just the fact that because he refused, and the reason that's... I'm going to run out of time, and I don't want to split this into the next segment. So we'll get into Jefferson's Christianity when we come back, and then I'll get back into this this speech by Teddy Roosevelt. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic. I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay. So one of the things that I probably need to point out here is that Herkimer was the name, and I don't know why, but some of us have real problems with some of the German and some of the other ethnic names out there. But anyway, forgive me. I don't mean to be insensitive. It's just that I get tongue-tied. Now, back to Jefferson. He was not a heterodox. Jefferson was truly a Christian. And as a matter of fact, the only way one can really understand Jefferson's position on his religion were his letters to John Adams, where John Adams was challenging him on his Christianity and why he did things. A lot of people thought that he was trying to create his own church. In essence, every single one of us, regardless of what our faith is, whether we're Jewish, whether we're Christian, whether we're whatever, we all have the way we manifest and the way we live and the way we subscribe to doctrines and so forth. We all have a unique, if I don't want to use the word spin, but we just have a unique manifestation of those doctrines in our own life of what we do and so forth. And so who are we to judge? We're not to judge whether that person is a good Catholic or a good Protestant or a mediocre, or what have you. And Jefferson himself did, you know, here's a person that could have easily, I don't know if you know people that don't go to church. You may know people that don't go to church. I do. And 9 times out of 10, they do not spend a lot of their time or any effort whatsoever regarding religion. In other words, they've basically made it pretty clear of their intentions. I have no intention of being interested or involving myself in religion. Well, then I ask you, why was it that Jefferson taught himself Hebrew? Why was it that Jefferson actually reinterpreted the Hebrew versions, the Greek versions, and the Latin versions of the New Testament, and then extrapolated only what Christ said and did out of those to create, you know, I'll just call it a spotlight or a highlight on the New Testament. And here's a person that supposedly was unreligious, was not involved at all, or a heretic. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. Here was a very spiritual man that was constantly pursuing and seeking the truth. And he felt, and as a matter of fact, from his own words and from Sir Isaac Newton's words, a man that Jefferson admired, they felt that religion and revelation was completely dead in Christianity. And they knew that revelation was the fundamental tenet of Christianity. So anyway, I didn't want to make this all about Jefferson, but here's another point of how we have... This was just less than 100 years after Jefferson had passed away. This was, 75? He passed away in 25. So 80-some years later, and they had already rewritten him into being something else than what he really was. Anyway, I'm going to get back into what he's saying. So Jefferson was a heterodox from the standpoint of any orthodox creed. But these and all other signers of the Declaration of Independence stood on an equality of duty and right and liberty as Americans and nothing else. So it was in the Civil War. Farragut's father was born in Spain and Sheridan's father in Ireland. Sherman and Thomas were of English and Custer of German descent, and Grant came of a long line of American ancestors whose original home had been Scotland. But the admiral was not a Spanish-American, and the generals were not Scotch-Americans or Irish-Americans or English-Americans or German-Americans. They were all Americans and nothing else. This was just as true of Lee and Stonewall Jackson and of Beauregard. When in 1909 our battle fleet returned from its voyage around the world, Admirals Wainwright and Schroeder represented the best traditions and the most effective action in our Navy. One was of an old American blood and of English descent, and the other was a son of a German immigrant. But one was not a Native American, and the other was not a German American. Each were an American pure and simple. Each bore allegiance only to the flag of the United States. Each would have been incapable of considering the interests of Germany or England or of any other country except the United States. To take charge, and so let me take a quick divergence here. Back in these days, they didn't have the shifting of ideologies along with nationalities. In other words, democracy, communism, monarchies, and so forth, as intense and as prevalent as it is today. So what we're dealing with in the ideological space is even worse, because these communist Americans are absolutely out to destroy America. Anyway, to take charge of the most important work under my administration, the building of the Panama Canal, I chose General Goethals. Anyway, I know I've got it wrong. Both of his parents were in Holland, but he was just a plain United States. He wasn't a Dutch American, and if he would have been, I wouldn't have appointed him. So it was with such men among those who served under me as Admiral Osterhaus and General Barry. The father of one was born in Germany and the father of the other in Ireland. But they were both Americans, pure and simple, and first-rate fighting men in addition. In my cabinet at the time, there were men of English and French, German, Irish, Dutch blood, men born on this side, and men born in Germany and Scotland. But they were all Americans and nothing else, and every one of them was incapable of thinking of himself or of his fellow countrymen excepting in terms of American citizenship. If one of them had anything in nature of a dual or divided allegiance in his soul, he never would have been appointed to serve under me, and he would have been instantly removed when the discovery was made. There wasn't one of them who was capable of desiring that the policy of the United States should be shaped with reference to the interests of any foreign country or foreign ideology, with consideration for anything outside the general welfare of humanity, save the honor and interest of the United States, and each was incapable of making any discrimination whatsoever among the citizens of men the country he served or of our common county or country, save discrimination based on conduct and all conduct alone. For an American citizen to vote as a German American, an Irish American, or an English American is to be a traitor to American institutions. And those hyphenated Americans who terrorize American politicians by threats of the foreign vote are engaged in treason to the American Republic. Now, this is kind of the frosting on the cake. This is obviously an extreme position in how he viewed some of these things, because he was really putting the country and or the federal government above. And there was nowhere here where he mentioned the Constitution and the focus and importance of our Constitution. It was more of the government. But I am here to tell you that things have changed a lot, and we have been pushed and moved into a direction that encompasses gender, that encompasses not just nationality, but actual racial makeup and so forth. We are being divided in every possible way that we might have pride. As I had a great conversation of recent, I can tell you that pride is the driver of some of the worst and greatest sins. And so when people start taking pride in their race and taking pride in their nationality and taking pride in this or that, instead of taking pride in their liberty, because I think we need to just shift. And as a matter of fact, it's not being proudful in liberty. It is being a stalwart and being diligent. And what is the other word? Starts with the V, vigilant in not only towards our liberty, but guarding our liberty. We have to actually start looking at the context of what do we do when we start cleaning house? What are we going to do with these communist Americans? What are we going to do with these people that are here because not because they love the Constitution and individual liberty and individual sovereignty. They're here because they want to enslave us to the state. They want the state to control every aspect and every property within our realm, within our milieu, within our environment, right? We have to start addressing the facts that these people can't stay. We'll have to expel them. We'll have to deport them. Just like they had to do during the Revolutionary War or after the Revolutionary War. They knew that they could not allow these types of enemies to exist. And we have to start being very clear, and we have to have and I think we can get there. I think we can identify a really good, clean process, because it's one thing to have an idea or a difference of opinion. It's another thing to actually go out and act upon that. Because as he says, when you're acting upon it, you become treasonous to the cause itself. And that's okay if you want to be treasonous. Everybody outside America is treasonous towards the Constitution, unless they're loving the Constitution and want to become a citizen under it. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution donations page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. We wanted to squeeze in just a real quick hidden message for those of you that are still tuned in. We wish you the best over the holiday weekend that we're facing, and that we, regardless of how you celebrate it, we hope you have a safe holiday nonetheless. But we hope that regardless of how you celebrate it, that you do it in liberty. God bless.